Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the CTT third quarter 2020 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the speaker presentation, there will be the question and answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today on the 5th of November 2020. I would now like to hand the conference over to our first speaker today, Professor Joe Bento. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. So moving to slide number four, the quarter was marked by a strong growth in parcels, strong and sustained, but also a slow recovery on mail volumes. Revenues have returned to growth despite the challenging comparison effect, because we have in this quarter last year the effect one-off effect of the elections. But still, even with that, revenues returned to growth. Addressed mail volumes declined 14.2%, which is a speeding of decline resulting from the pandemic. But we had also a very strong boost from e-commerce that led to increase in express and parcel volumes of 35.8%, and with an associated significant market share gain, and the momentum keeps aligned with this. The bank returned to positive net profit in the quarter with a strong and robust growth on revenues, in spite of stricter lending standards, for obvious reasons. And retail remains with a steady recovery, given that the accumulated debt placements for this year exceeds last year's already very strong performance. So it's basically two main aspects: strong growth in parcels and in the bank, slow recovery of mail volumes, but still with revenues growing. If we move to slide five, this double-digit revenues increase and the path to solid profitability in the growth levers is, as we can see in the numbers, not counteracting fully the declines in the legacy business. But I would like to highlight some of the things that we are doing in each of the main business lines, starting with mail, with a decline of 8% in revenues, but a stronger decline in EBITDA and EBIT. I would probably highlight the partnership with the Portuguese Institute for Records and Notary to deliver the citizen cards that have been updated online, because this is the first visible case of new forms of mail that we are devising and setting up, and one of many to come, in which we are in fact using the digitalization of the economy to increase mail volume. So it's a counterintuitive aspect, so we value immensely this first effort, and we see a lot of opportunities here. Moving to express and parcels, The revenue figure is already quite impressive. It's almost half of the revenues generated in email, we are doing this by improving market share, but also creating better margin opportunities. And the two cases that we highlight in the presentation, Green Delivery partnership with an Expresso, and the speed up of the deployment of Lockers 24 offer, are two very interesting cases. One associated with top line, the other one with the costs or efficiency, that are in fact contributing to not only expand the business but also expand profitability. For the bank, we have chosen to highlight the two aspects, which are the partnership with BNP Paribas for factoring solutions for SMEs. This is a very interesting case because it's a great way to enter the business of credit for SMEs with basically no capital requirements, no investment, and taking advantage of an extreme complementarity between the offer of a partner and our ability to place this kind of products. And also the example of PayShop Digital Wallet, an offer to municipalities, which in fact expands the frontiers of payment of the payment business, and levers on leverages on a relationship with municipalities, which is bringing quite substantial new business to the portfolio. So good news from the bank. In financial services and retail, early results of the launch of the new concept store are very promising. This is a store that in our daily ranking of revenues and profitability jumped hundreds of places from the earlier store, and we are now perfecting and taking advantage of the prototype case to turn that into additional revenue and profitability for the new ones that we are going to open. We have also reopened 7 post offices in the third quarter, reinforcing our proximity to the population and the commitment to public service. This is very important, and it keeps paying, given the reputation effect on our progressive business levels with municipalities, but also it's been a very significant lever for negotiations of our forthcoming public service obligations. Moving to slide 6. So let's zoom in the numbers in the business lines. Lower than expected mail recovery, as I said, given the fright and lockdown restrictions. After the lockdown restrictions were lifted, still recovery but slow. While business solutions revenues are growing rapidly and start to represent a significant contribution, it's in fact a very fast growing activity within the company. We have the lower than expected ordinary mail recovery. We were also pressured by reduced activity of some of contractual clients, namely the big clients, insurance companies, telecommunications, utilities, and public administration. On the other hand, inbound mail revenues grew on the quarter as freight activity it's becoming slightly more normal. International outbound mail in the quarter, the comparison is impacted by the one-off effect that I've mentioned earlier of last year's election, but still an interesting behavior of international mail. And as I said, business solution revenues growing rapidly in the quarter as a result of the intense commercial drive that has been introduced in the segment and achieved through several partnerships. Partnerships here is key, because it's the way to bring in not only widen the offer, speed up, reduce investment, and also bringing with these new partners additional capability to expand not only the offer but also the client base. I'd like to spend a little bit more on mail, just on a couple of notes, two notes actually. One related with top line. Yeah, well, the declining volumes, we need to counteract that with better and more imaginative offers, and we are working very actively on that. But the end of the concession, by the end of the year, opens room for a better usage of the price lever. We've been very restrained with that, and of course, things need to be different from the beginning of next year. On the other hand, by reaching lower levels of mail, we are also coming to the point that allows for significant or deeper restructuring of the distribution model, and both effects should start to be visible by the beginning of next year. With that, I would move to slide 7 to talk a little bit on parcels. The build-up of the Iberian platform continues, and the Iberian attribute is more and more important. Some of the most interesting contracts that we have grabbed in this quarter are associated with that fact that we have an Iberian offer, and we have in fact consolidated the market leadership position in Portugal and increased scale in Spain. We are continuing investments in the infrastructure, namely in Lisbon, Oporto, Barcelona, and Valencia, because we need to be able to deploy our offer with quality, because this is a business where quality brings margin and brings pricing. We have increased our processing capacity and dynamic routing abilities, namely with the new equipment in Madrid and Barcelona, which are now allow us to sort up to 15,000 parcels per hour. And we have launched the new cross-border Iberian line haul D+1 offer. This is unique. We believe it positions CTT Express and CTT Express, or the CTT brand, in a very privileged position for parcels in Iberia. And this is revealing to be actually paying the effort. We are widening the product portfolio in Portugal, launching a premium international offer, two-man delivery, same-day delivery, evening delivery, Saturday delivery. And we are also, we have decided, as you know, to remain with the cargo offer so that we can have a full-fledged offer. In cargo, we are transforming ourselves through a partnership, basically working from next year onwards on a full flexible cost basis. And so we feel very strong with our position in Portugal. And we have also been able to show profitability at levels that were never seen in this company. Moving to Spain, we are aligning capabilities with the client needs in Spain. The most relevant result of this is the fact that we have acquired large e-tailers such as Amazon and AliExpress with expected 60,000 parcels per day on top of what we have. We have increased our own sales and distribution versus the franchise model to 50% and 70% respectively in the quarter. This is extremely important for the major e-commerce client needs, and because of that we had also to anticipate part of the plan that we had for next year in terms of own distribution. But that's also why we were able to grab this levels of orders from Amazon. Unit costs have already begun to decline since September, and we expect them to continue the downward trajectory through the quarter and across next year. Also, because with the newly acquired clients, we increase the network scale. We improve the share of our own sales and distribution and boost our own operational leverage. In fact, we can almost start to choose to leave some of our less profitable customers. So we had in our plan two major levers to deploy what we promised last year. One, a substantial improvement in revenues, and the other one, an ability to bring unit costs and quality to different levels that require CapEx and technology improvement, and we are doing exactly that in spite of a very different path, because of course the pandemic changed some of the assumptions. We keep extremely confident that the main target of the strategic plan for Spain, which is to cross operate operational break-even across next year, is going to be here. Moving to slide 8, just looking at a final look at the numbers, stellar growth in parcel volume continues. Our investment in e-commerce and the ability to meet client needs is paying the effort. And in Portugal, we are actually expanding the market by leading the change to e-commerce and to digitalization of commerce, namely in SMEs. And in Spain, we are basically grabbing a better and also larger portion of the market. And the recapture of Amazon is obviously the most important aspect. We are now at the end of the third quarter with 35% of volume increase in Portugal and 44% in Spain, which are very, very interesting figures. And they are clearly robust and figures that we see is sustainable. Moving to slide nine and the bank. Well, the credit activity remained resilient, especially in autos, despite stricter lending standards. The auto loan production was impacted in the first period by the closure of the auto dealerships, because as you might remember, during the lockdown, non-essential businesses had to close. It recovered strongly in the third quarter as demand for used cars remains robust. This is a trend that is common globally. We have now people are trying to move away from traffic, from transit, and from public transportation, and acquiring cars. So the profile also changed to we have now more events of credit of smaller tickets, but 3-to-1 credit is doing very well. Mortgage production declined. Because also the change in focus, we are moving a bit away from mortgage to auto credit in order to maximize risk-adjusted return on capital, but still with very interesting numbers in the quarter, and customer deposits continue to grow despite the introduction of new cards, debit card commissions earlier in the second quarter, which is also sharing interesting results in the account. And finally, in slide 10, the growth of financial service volumes, despite the challenging operational environment, it reflects our proximity to the population and the trust that we generate. We are a very interesting anchor for savings amongst the general population. And the fact that we continue committed to the public service also improves this line of business. Gradual recovery in the placements continued with above 40 million euros a day during the quarter, and exceeding the last year's performance, which was already very interesting. We have also decided to give some visibility to a partnership we had with government to distribute the stabilization supplement to 75,000 workers, just as an example of some good news that results from the pandemic. It's not only bad news. And with this, I would pass the word to Guy, our CFO.
Good morning. Thank you, João. So starting on slide 12, we can see our revenues evolutions. Our revenues were down 1% in the 9 months, but growing 0.3% in the quarter on the back of a strong Express and Parcels growth, good performance in Banco CTT, and a lower decline in mail volumes, although higher than we previously expected. So mail volumes with this kind of performance, the declining 15.3% in the quarter, or 14.2% if we exclude the general elections effect that we had last year. Financial sector and utilities continue to aggressively digitize process, and this is impacting, of course, mail volumes. Revenue is declining 8% in the quarter, reflecting this evolution of volumes and the absence of the pricing lever this year under the current regulatory framework that was partially compensated by a good evolution in inbound mail revenues and business solution that grew 17.9% and 80% in the quarter respectively. In the 9 months, mail revenue is still declining 12%. In what has been a very atypical year for mail volumes as a result of the current pandemic. In the third quarter, Express and Parcels continued to show significant growth, both in Portugal and Spain, growing 19.5% and 36.7% respectively. In Portugal, we continue to gain market share with strong growth in corporates and SMEs that are now going digital faster than before, and some of them with the turnkey solutions that are provided by CTT. In Spain, we continue to seize the opportunity created by the current context to accelerate growth and gain scale. We acquired, as Ron already shared, two important customers in September, which are expected to bring significant volumes starting already in the fourth quarter. In the 9 months, Express and Parcels business unit is growing 19.5%. Banco CTT continues to post significant growth. We're growing 10.4% in the quarter. That is mainly driven by 321 credit that is growing 15.3%. And by the introduction of commissions in debit cards that more than compensated the decline of in the payments area that still is slightly impacted by a restriction on people movements. In the 9 months, growing 39.3% from CPT. Financial services continue to steadily recover after the confinement, but still declining 11% in the third quarter, with retail revenues recovering faster than public debt. We continue to see this steady recover already in October. We are moving to single-digit numbers of decline, so things are continuing to converge. In the 9 months, declining 3.3 on the back of a very strong fourth quarter. On the next slide, we can see our OPEX that is growing 2% in the quarter and 2.2% in the 9 months due to increase especially in the growth lever, so Express and Parcels and Banco. In the quarter, mail and financial service OPEX declined 4.3% or 4.5 million euros. Mail OPEX declining 3.8% both in the quarter and the 9 months. It's important to note that quality levels returned to the target levels during this quarter, what obviously puts pressure on our ability to adjust labor costs under the current distribution model that we have. Express and Parcels OPEX growing 19.2% in the quarter and 16.8% in the 9 months. And this is driven mainly by the growth of volumes that is growing in excess of 34% in the two periods. In Portugal, we continue to see unit costs declining due to higher volumes and efficiency initiatives and investments that we are implementing during these months. And in Spain, we saw a temporary increase in unit costs versus what we saw in second quarter. Two effects: first, the change of mix that went for smaller parcels to bigger parcels. And an increase of own distribution that now stands at 70%. We continue to invest to capture volumes, to increase scale, and align our capabilities with these new e-commerce clients. Banco CTT OPEX growing 1.8% in the quarter, what is the first quarter that we don't see the impact of the consolidation of 321 and lower marketing expenses. In the 9 months, growing 10.7%. Financial service OPEX declining, pretty much in line with the evolution of revenues in the quarter. In the slide 14, we can see our EBIT evolution. Our EBIT is heavily affected by the operational evolution of the mail division. Mail evolution continues to put pressure in the EBITDA of this division because under the current operating model and universal service obligations, without an effective price lever like our peers have, it's very difficult to compensate the volumes loss that we have been showing. In the quarter, EBITDA of mail declined 31.8% and 53% in the 9 months. Express and Parcels EBITDA growing 2.7 million in the 9 months, still negatively impacted by the Spanish division. Portugal growing 4.3 million on the back of a strong volumes and margin improvement. In Spain, we continue our transformation process. We are in the most difficult part of this process, where we are increasing the own distribution to prepare for the next level of growth, but still with the necessary scale to dilute what is a higher percentage of fixed costs. Nevertheless, as Ron said, we remain very committed to achieve targets that we share with you in the past. But Banco CTT growing 12.3 million, 7.8 million coming from 3-to-1 credit, and it's strongly maintaining the path to profitability. Financial services remain flat. Restructuring costs down 13.9 million because the negotiation of exits of people this year are significantly lower. Impairments increasing 9.2 million, 6.7 million coming from the Bank CTT, 3.1 million from that forward-looking effect provision that we booked on the second quarter, and the impact of consolidation of 3-to-1 credit that is a business with higher impairments on this business model. As a result, our EBIT reached 17.3 million in the 9 months. On page 15, we can see the net income that now stands at 4.3 million, reflecting the 17 million decline in EBIT. As we already seen, it's mainly driven by mail and volumes in that division. Tax increasing 1 million euros due to the comparison effect of the one-off tax gain we had last year that was associated with a favorable decision on the tax deduction, the tax loss deduction of the sale of Tourline by CTT Express. On slide 16, we can see our operational cash flow that reached 16 million in the 9 months. Still reflecting a high working capital impact of 21.3 million. 16 million of this is coming from the high capex done in the end of 2019, and 5 million coming from accounts receivable. We had some issues collecting from the Portuguese government during this quarter, things that are moving on the right direction now. Free cash flow of zero. Our net cash position remains stable versus last quarter, so 23 million, and a financial debt of 17.2.8 million that reflects some increase in lease liabilities in this quarter due to the investment in the logistic platform that we are doing in Portugal and Spain. And now I hand you over to João. Thank you.
Thank you, Guy. Well, in slide 18, our last slide, we have a word on guidance. So the business outlook for mail is clear. It's declining on the mid-teens. Revenues benefiting from the seasonally strong fourth quarter and from the growth of business solutions. Promises, I would say, significantly better fourth quarter. Express and parcels volumes expected to accelerate further in the quarter for obvious reasons. This is the season for ENP with Singles Day, Black Friday, Christmas, and the momentum that has been created and somehow also created by us in Portugal and the opportunities in Spain. So as we expect a strong quarter for parcels, express and parcels. The same with goes along with the solid contribution from Banco CTT and its 3-to-1 subsidiary in terms of progress on the profitability target. And we are also expecting placements of public debt within I would say a small distance of the very, very robust levels we had in this quarter last year, despite the challenging retail and macro environment. Of course, the most important aspect here is that these are expectations under the assumption that no material impacts from the announced lockdowns in Portugal and Spain will have. We are now in the second day of the new lockdown in Portugal. We see some, I would say, mild reduction in activity, and so we believe it's reasonable to assume that these impacts will be very, very, very far away from what we had. And then with that assumption in mind, the ambition is to attain low single-digit growth in full-year revenues and the commitment to achieve 30 million of EBIT, as we said, and also 90 million of EBITDA. So bear in mind that this is under this assumption. It's still early days, but we think this is going to happen, or it could happen. And with that, we would close the presentation and open for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. The first question comes from land of Philippe Lake from Caixa Bank. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I have three questions, if I may. The first one is related with the potential extension of the current Universal Postal Service concession, because it seems that the regulator and the government intention is to keep the same 24 quality KPIs. And the regulator is also pushing for a price increase of CPI plus one in this extension. But the regulator is also pushing for the approval of a maximum penalty of 3% of point for not complying with those KPIs. So basically meaning that in theory, the mail price could decrease 2% of point below CPI. If you miss all the quality KPIs as in last year. Can you tell us if you agree with these terms and if the government and the regulator can unilaterally impose such conditions in the contract extension? And second question is related with real estate, the deal that you mentioned in previous call, if you still are working on it and if you believe that the deal could reach the 200 million mentioned, and when do you expect to have it completed, before or after the award of the new Universal Service Postal contract, considering that the deal will impact your regulated business? And last one, on your EBITDA target or guidance for this year, if it includes any impact of the presidential election or if it should impact only the next year results. Thank you.
Thank you, Philippe. I will grab one and three, and we'll ask Guy to give you an update on how you said. So extension of the concession and pricing restrictions, penalties, and everything that you mentioned. Well, even if that would apply, in fact, the penalty of 3% was not to be present on top of the other one. In any case, I need to be slightly prudent here, as it has been made public. We are now discussing with government the terms of what should happen in the 1st of January. There is a significant agreement in which are the obstacles to allow us to agree on some kind of temporary reality before the new concession contract is in place, and because of that, I will not be very. Explicit on how we are. In any case, I can be very explicit in saying that the existing terms are terms that we cannot accept. As they are, I've mentioned this several times publicly and to the press. We are very committed to be and to remain the service, universal service provider, with the condition of it to become sustainable and it reach terms that we feel are unsustainable. So we shall have more news on that. There are important meetings organized and taking place now. And so it's something that we need to come back at later stage. But let me come back to what I said when I referred to mail. we have a price lever that needs to be activated. And we have the very good lift of the European benchmark with substantial price increases, and that is something that needs to be handled. Moving to the detailed question on the EBITDA guidance, it doesn't take into account the presidential election. Also, next year it won't be present in the sense that the presidential election is not going to have a male vote, and it's not because male votes in presidential election is becoming a funny subject. It's because actually the law, the electoral law for presidential election, doesn't have a provision for that. So this guidance that we are now committing to is a guidance without that contribution. And with that, I would pass the floor to Guy.
On real estate, two things are impacting the timetable. First, we encounter more issues on the fiscal front that we are tackling, and the pandemic obviously introduced here a disruption in the project. We remain committed to do something in the beginning of next year that we don't see necessarily aligned with the concession, but obviously has some impacts on it, as you mentioned.
Thank you. Just a follow-up on the first one regarding the universal postal service. And despite these agreements in terms of the conditions of the contract, can the government unilaterally impose the conditions of the contract extension, or it should be negotiated with CTT?
No, there is a provision in contract. The only provision in contract that allows for extension is an agreed extension. On the other hand, on the public procurement legal framework in Portugal, there is also a possibility for extension because of exceptional conditions. But in both cases, it needs to be an agreed extension. What all the signs, and more than signs, the framework that has been present in discussions that we've had at the highest level is that we need to agree on how to gap the bridge between the end of the concession and the new concession. So that first of all, repeating explicitly the answer, it needs to be agreed. It cannot be unilateral. And also, we didn't have any sign so far that in any stage that could be a possibility.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from line of Marco Limite from Barclays. Please ask your question.
Hi, morning all. So just to go back quickly on the postal license renewal. What do you think is the kind of most likely timing? Is there going to be, for the official postal license renewal, is there going to be January, is there going to be March? And my second question is about the Spanish division. So you're saying that the new volumes from Amazon and AliExpress are about 60K parcel per working day, and if I multiply that for 90 days or 80 days, whatever, you get to about 4-5 million of volumes, which seems just doubling basically the Spanish volumes that you have got already for each quarter on average. So I'm just wondering if is that correct, first of all, and second, we should expect revenues as well to kind of double once these volumes will be in your network. And of course, if you can give us also a bit of timing around that, when these clients are gonna be your network. So if it's gonna be first quarter 2021 or second half. Thank you.
Thank you, Marco. I will have to ask you to repeat the second part of the question, if you don't mind.
Just about the timing of the onboarding of these clients. First half or second half of next year.
Okay, so the 60,000 parcels coming from these customers is the aggregate. I mean, with their contribution, this is the addition to what we have. In fact, they are already on board, and we have commitments with them because these are the most sophisticated clients we have. These are commitments, we have commitments with them almost on a monthly basis or sometimes on a monthly basis. So there's a build-up that we cannot disclose for commercial and legal reasons. But in fact, we feel reasonably confident with our installed capacity and the levels of objects that we are committing with them. In the case of Amazon, there is even a provision that with a very significant advance notice, we can increase even more or significantly more. So there's no major concern we have now with capacity and the numbers that we have for these two particular clients are planned from now to the end of the year. And if I understood the onboarding, it's already done because they are already delivering for them quite substantially. Coming to the first question, the timing, well, something needs to be decided and announced before year end, because the contract ends on the 31st of December. And so something is going to be known and valid before that. But then let's wait and see how things progress.
Excuse me, Marco, is that your questions are answered?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Dear participants, once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from the line of Antonio Celades from AS Research. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the presentation, for taking my questions. Both are related to Banco CTT. You mentioned that you are now, or you've been over the third quarter, more focused on car loans instead of mortgage. So my question is, does it make sense, taking consideration that we are through an adjustment phase in the economy? So that is the question. And the second question, if you could provide us the level of moratoriums on your credits, on your assets. Thank you.
Okay, Antonio, thank you. Well, we feel that the quarter is going to be strong for auto loans, and therefore we see no reason not to focus on that. It's basically taking advantage of a market that is active and it's here. If anything, this new rebound of the confinement or kind of confinement, it's going to improve concern on using public transportation. So we don't see why not. Given the to the moratorium issue, I will ask Guy to answer.
We have. The same levels that we shared with you last quarter, so no significant, no material increase. We remain with 7% of our credit book with a moratorium request. We have two major kinds of moratoria, the ones related with mortgage that will end in September next year, as it stands, if no further extensions, and in auto loans it finishes in end of last month. We still early days. We are seeing encouraging numbers from the first attempts to collect the money from these moratoriums that ended that are related with car loans. Another thing to bear in mind: the banking sector in Portugal, at least in the public numbers, show moratoriums in excess of 20%. So our credit book it's at least compares well with what we see in other banks.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. It's true. It's true. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Arturo Amaro from CaixaBank. Please ask your question.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. And I had the same question as Antonio Slavic. So I have a further one. What can we, if you can remind us all, when can we expect the turnaround of the Spanish business? I'm asking this because the growth levers, namely ENP and Banco CTT, almost compensate in terms of revenues, the decline of the mail revenues, but it's not happening the same, or the gap is higher in terms of EBITDA. When can we expect the Spanish division to actually start growing and achieve profitability? And if you can give us a little color of what's behind the EBITDA in Spain, being more negative in these 9 months compared to the previous year. Thank you.
Thank you, Arthur. Your question gives me the opportunity to be a bit more thorough on Spain. Just to recall, we have two main, well, the strategic plan for the turnaround promised to turn the break-even line, operational break-even next year, and profitability on the 22nd, on 2022. The plan was based on a very significant and varying growth in volumes and in revenues, and also with the need to be more efficient in terms of unit prices. For the second part, or if you want, for the first part, of course, to have more volumes is basically to be able to grab more clients and better clients. For the second part, to improve unit prices and efficiency and quality, because in parcels, quality brings volume and margin and pricing, we committed to a CapEx plan that was related mostly with hardware, so physical facilities and sorters, and also software, mostly related, not only, but mostly related with dynamic routing intelligence, because that brings a lot of efficiency, not only for our own operations, but also for franchise operations. And this was before the pandemic. The pandemic brought a few differences to the plan, but the outcome is roughly the same. And what are the main differences? We have a very good tailwind in terms of revenues, because revenues came, volumes came, but they came with a different mix, because the company was mostly a B2B company, and then B2B almost disappeared all of a sudden, but B2C exploded. So we had to adapt to that. And adapting to B2C represents a number of things. One, pricing is less interesting, and costs, when we were as we were, was also less interesting. So we had the volume lever being activated, but with a different pricing mix, and therefore with revenues per delivery lower than we wanted. But still, the volumes came and revenue grew. For the other lever, the need to deploy CapEx and technology, Well, our main supplier closed its plant, so all the CapEx deployment was delayed. And that's why we have started with the new sorters in Barcelona and Madrid only very recently. Actually, Madrid started on the first of the two Amazon Prime days. And because of that, we had non-optimal production costs up to then. And this is the reason why we have a negative development of EBITDA during the quarter, because we wanted to keep with these new volumes, we wanted to keep and to grab this very important client, and it took us more than expected to have our facility ready for that. And the final detail, we have also to anticipate our path to replacing deliveries by franchisees to deliveries by our own operations. Because for B2C, the underlying assumption is that franchisees are not efficient and we need to do it ourselves. Having said so, we are absolutely in line with the main levers. CapEx is going to be roughly what was announced. EBITDA will be crossed along next year. Actually, we are now expecting to cross the break-even line earlier than before, and profitability will be here on 2022. A different path, influenced by the external environment, by the pandemic, but with similar results.
Okay, very clear. Can I just have a small follow-up on the extension of the USO contract? If I understood correctly, some news are expected until the end of the year, and the government will have to negotiate with CTT a possible extension of the current contract. I just did not understand what could be the length, the duration of this new contract, if it can be up to 1 year or more, if you can just answer me that. Thank you very much, João.
Honestly, I cannot because we don't know. It's in the public consultation that was done about the concession, the length of the contract that was surfaced was between 5 and 7 years. I think that still applies. The length of some kind of temporary situation, I don't like to call it extension, but the length of the temporary situation, it's a matter of how long we will take to agree on the terms of the new concession, because we need to agree on two things: how to span between the 31st of December and the new concession, and also we need to agree on what should be the terms of the concession.
Okay. So everything is open at the moment. Thanks, Juan, once again. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear participants. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from line of Marco Limite from Barclays. Please ask your question. Marco, your line is open.
Hi, sorry, I was on mute. A quick follow-up question, sorry. In your 30 million guidance at EBIT level, how much are you budgeting for specific items, given that year to date you haven't booked much less compared to last year? Thanks.
We are not giving specific guidance, but you can assume that there are very, very, very small levels of specific items.
Okay, thank you.
Dear speakers, there are no further questions at this time.
Well, thank you all for coming, and we keep, of course, available to direct questions with you and mostly through Peter. And thank you again for coming. Hope to be with you very soon. Bye-bye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect. Have a nice day. The speaker, please stand by.